Welcome to the Radiant Podcast. We are so glad you joined us today. This podcast features messages, interviews, and discussions from Radiant Church located in Seneca, South Carolina. For more information about Radiant, visit radiantchurchsc.com. Here's today's episode. We're in a series of teachings right now that are challenging us to move beyond wearing just for that Christian label. Man, a struggle for a lot of people. There's a lot of folks out there who would say, man, I'm a good person. I believe, you know, God or a higher power or whatever. I'm spiritual, that kind of thing. And that's the extent of their spiritual life. And, you know, God has so much more in store for you than just that. God wants you to go all in for Him. He doesn't want you, you know, being kind of sort of maybe following Him. He doesn't want you to have one foot in, one foot out. God wants you to go all in for Him. And so this teaching series we're in, it's called Christian-ish, is all about that, challenging you to go further than just wearing that label of Christian. And a couple weeks ago, we started this, we pushed back against the idea of living a comfortable form of Christianity. God desires for you to be 100% sold out, fully committed, all in for Him. Don't go halfway, go all in. And then last week, we talked about selective obedience, and you know, God does not desire us to be people who partially, sometimes, halfway obey. He wants our full and complete obedience, and we talked about a couple of things called unconditional promises and conditional blessings. And so just very quickly to kind of recap it so we're all on the same page. Unconditional promises are things that God does no matter what. So, hey, salvation, this new life in Christ, this forgiveness that God offers you, is available to anybody, anywhere, of any background. All you have to do is commit yourself to the Lord. Hey, God, I need a Savior. I need You in my life. And God will grant that to you. That's true of anybody, anywhere. But then there are these things called conditional blessings, where there are blessings of God. God wants to bless you, but they're not just, you know, they're not freebies here. They're blessings that are conditional, hinging on what? Hinging on our obedience. So you'll see things in Scripture, like in the Old Testament, before Israel possesses the land, God says, hey, if you possess the land, and you follow Me, and you follow the Word, you know, then what will happen? You'll be prosperous, and I will bless you, right? You'll have a long life in the land I'm giving you. That's an example of a conditional blessing. So obedience, a lot of that unlocks blessing from God in your life, okay? And we'll talk more about that here next week. But for today, we're going to shift gears a little bit and kind of talk about something a little bit different here this morning. If you're somebody who's committed to living your life following God, and you say, Pastor, I'm all in for the Lord. I'm a follower of Christ. I've been one for, you know, maybe X number of years, or maybe just a recent follower of Christ. That's great too. But you're all in for Him. You'd say, man, He's it. He's my everything. Then the number one priority in your life, greater than anything, greater than anybody, should be what? It should be God, right? Should be God. And that sounds really easy, and it sounds really, really good to do. Hey, I can make God first in my life. I'm a follower of Him, and if I were to ask you if He's first in your life as someone who's a committed Christian, you would probably say that. Well, He's number one in my life, and in my life all revolves around God. And we can talk a really good game about that, but the truth is that's really hard to put into practice. It's very easy to say we do that, but it's a lot harder for us to actually live our lives where God really is the priority, where everything really kind of revolves around Him. Now, if you're somebody who's here this morning, or you're watching online, you know, you would say, well, I'm not really all in for God. I'm kind of spiritual, that sort of thing. Let's just be honest. You know it, and I know it, that placing God first is not something that you would do, right? I mean, you would it'd be hard for you to do that. Why would you place God first? There's so many other things you have going on in your life. So I kind of get where you're coming from. But if you're somebody, man, who is committed to following the Lord, you're not kind of sort of maybe Christian, like, man, you're like all in for Christ, you're all in, a committed follower of Jesus, man, putting God first is incredibly important. It's not some of those things, we can't do this halfway, we can't give lip service to it. It's really a pretty big struggle to do. You know, if we don't put God first in our life, and we have other things in our life, it reflects a divided heart. And the worst part about that is you know, God is second place, second tier. And you might say, well, that's not so bad. I mean, I got family, a marriage, a job. That's all pretty important. I mean, God's up there. Isn't that good enough?
I don't know about you. I grew up competitive. I'm an ultra competitive person. I mean, my wife and I, we go like putt-putt or we go play board games or whatever. We're always cutthroat. We're trying to do everything we can to beat each other. It's kind of our fun thing to do. I had this mantra. People were always, you know, they always mean well. I would hear this a lot growing up from folks. That, you know, it's like, well, you know, you didn't win. It's okay. You came in second place. You got third. It was, you know, it was all right. It was good, man. You know, good job. I hated that. Now, it would be nice to be like, okay, thank you. But internally, I hated that. You know why? Because for me, second place is the first to lose. That's why. It's the consolation prize. I want number one, numero uno, man. I do not want to be in second place. There's no consolation prize for me. I hate that kind of stuff. Listen, putting God first, we shouldn't give God a consolation prize. Well, I got my marriage, my job, my family, my whatever, and God's up there too. Putting God first is mightily important. We're going to talk about that a lot here today. God has to be first. He can't be second to lose, man. He's got to be number one in your life, the top priority. And the problem, again, we have God at second. It's a divided heart. You might say that God is first and he's the priority, but your actions and how you live don't back that up, right? I mean, when you put something ahead of God, what you're actually doing, and you probably haven't thought about it like this before, but what you're actually doing if you place God second, okay, is that you're committing idolatry. Now, that sounds crazy because we don't think about that, but you're actually committing idolatry. You know, when God is giving Moses 10 commandments, those are the laws that govern Israel's relationship with the Lord, the first command he gives Moses, Exodus 23, you must not have any other God but me. I'm it. Nobody else. This is not like an Old Testament idea either, like placing God first carries over into the New Testament as well. 1 John 5:21, dear children, keep away from anything which might take God's place in your hearts. Idolatry. So what is it? What is idolatry? Because when we think about idolatry, we're not thinking something is taking God's place so much as we're thinking statues, right? Statues or cult-like behavior or Indiana Jones and hoping your bag of sand weighs just enough, right? So the boulder doesn't come chasing after you. But an idol is not any of those types of things. I mean, it can be, but it doesn't have to be that. As John spells it out, it's anything which takes the place of God in our lives. And because it's anything, it can actually be good things. And this is where it really trips us up a little bit. It can actually be good things in our lives too. Good things we place before God. So by that definition, like your marriage could be an idol that you place before God. Your kids, your family could be an idol. Your career, your job. Until this season, it could have been your sports teams, but we all know it's been a rough year for the state of South Carolina on both ends of the spectrum, so we're not feeling that one so much, right? But an idol can be any of those types of things, and if you're skeptical, you're like, well, Pastor, that sounds really open-ended and manipulative. You can make anything an idol. I mean, yes, that's the point. Anything could be an idol. Anything that actually that takes the place of God, good or bad, could do that. And if you believe that God is who he says he is, and he's the creator and the king of kings and the Lord of lords, and he has the authority then to tell us that, hey, if you want to follow me, you have to go all in, and nothing can be higher than that. There's nothing can be higher than pursuing me. I have to be first. Now, how many of us are good at that? Not very many. I mean, you could tell me, well, Pastor, I have taken my entire life and repurposed it and designed it all around God. And you probably have done a really good job of trying to do that, but I would push back really hard. Have you done it perfectly? Probably not. So there's areas for improvement. There's areas for you to grow in. There's some things for you to kind of, you know, pay attention to. It's really a struggle. It's easy to say, I'm putting God first. It's another thing for you to actually live this out. Why? Because we have dreams and passions and there's a lot going on, right? You know, it's just very difficult to do that. And if you're here in the room and you're a new believer, you're somebody who's not yet following God, you might wonder, okay, well, why is God so demanding? I mean, you're talking about putting God first of everything. Like, why? Why is he such a demanding God? Like, your marriage is pretty important. Your family matters. Jobs, you gotta have money, man. You gotta eat, so you gotta have a job, right? You gotta make money. Well, why is God asking that he's above all of that stuff? And I could give you all kinds of reasons for that, but I want to focus on one in particular here this morning. One reason in particular. particular, aside from the fact that God is just, he's worthy of it because he is who he is. He's holy, he's the Lord, he's the creator, he's worthy of all that. Aside from that by itself, there's one important fact that ruffles a lot of feathers and people have a hard time with it. God is a jealous God. A jealous God. That has tripped up a lot of people over the years. Why would God be jealous? That doesn't even make sense, right? Because that seems petty. I mean, if you think about jealousy, you think in terms of pettiness. If somebody is jealous of somebody else, you're thinking that's juvenile, it's immature, it's petty, it's whatever. Why would God, the creator of the universe, all powerful, right? Why would he be jealous? But the Bible's pretty clear that he is. Well, so let's go back to Exodus for a moment. I'm going to kind of bounce around a little bit here today. Exodus 34, 14. God says, you must worship no other gods, for the Lord, whose very name is jealous, is a God who is jealous about what? Look at this. About his relationship with you. God is jealous of his relationship with you. That matters to him. Exodus 20, verse 5. You must not bow down to them or worship them, speaking of idols. For I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God who will not tolerate your affection for other gods. Deuteronomy 4 describes God as a consuming fire who is a jealous God. So again, like, why is God jealous? Why would he be jealous? He has infinite power. He's holy. He's sovereign. What does he have to be jealous of? Well, jealousy, as we read it, in terms of God, is not quite the same as jealousy as you and I would understand it to be. So if I can just get in the weeds a little bit, nerd out a little bit for you, I want to show you this. Your Bible is written in Hebrew, the Old Testament, okay? So in Hebrew, the word for jealous is kana. But they spell it a little bit different. Jealousy, as you and I understand it, kana, has one N, okay? It's typical human petty jealousy. However, when we assign jealousy to God in the Hebrew language, they add a second end to it. Still kana, but spelled differently with two N's. You say, why does that matter? That second N intensifies the meaning. And what it does is it says, okay, we're going to assign an intense jealousy towards God. However, we're not going to use it for any other person. The only time you ever see this term for jealousy in that manner with two ends used is in description of God's jealousy. And what it's doing is it's describing a jealousy reserved for God, not anybody else. It's an infinite degree of a loving kind of jealousy that he has. God is jealous of and jealous for a relationship with you. Now, why does that matter? Again, human jealousy is petty. It has flaws. It's self-serving because we're finite, flawed people. But God's jealousy is rooted in his holiness and his covenant relationship of love for us. That second end denotes a righteous, consuming, covenant-keeping jealousy, which relentlessly pursues and protects his relationship with his people. It's a righteous, holy, all-consuming jealousy from a God who gave everything he had for you and desires what? That you will give everything you have back in return to him. That's what it is. So it's a little bit different, isn't it? It's a jealousy that's righteous from a God who wants what's best for you. And anytime you put anything or anyone before him, it doesn't actually hurt God. It hurts you because it hurts the relationship that God has or desires to have with you. David put it like this in Psalm 16:4. Troubles multiply for those who chase after other gods, for those who chase after idolatry. I'm going to tell you something this morning. It's going to rub some of you the wrong way, but I want you to listen to it. If you're struggling, man, if you're here today and you're hurting, if you're dissatisfied, if there's some things happening in your life, you're like, man, my life is not where it should be. It's not going how it should be. You know, if that's you today, I want to submit to you that maybe you're in the boat you're in right now because you have something or you have someone that has a higher priority in your life than God. I'm not saying it's the cause, but it could be a cause. It could be a reason. Maybe you find yourself in this tension all the time. You're always feeling overwhelmed. You're anxious. You battle depression. You feel disconnected from God or disconnected from people. And what do? When we feel like that, we try to do what? We try to fill the void. All right, give me some temporary satisfaction. I'm tired of battling depression, anxiety, whatever. I need something to kind of give me some relief and release from this feeling that I've got. So we fill the void with all kinds of things. We might drink too much. We might work too much. We might look at pornography. We might try to keep ourselves busy. Whatever it is, we do these things because it temporarily satisfies us and fills that void. Now, over time, we're like, you know what? I shouldn't do this so much. It's not right for me to do that. We begin to feel kind of guilty about that. And yet, we struggle because, man, doing those things does fill this void and dissatisfaction that I have, even if just for a moment. But I know I shouldn't do it. So you're kind of conflicted a little bit. And you begin to think, well, if I just cut that stuff out, so if I just stop drinking or whatever, I'll be fine. It'll be okay. I'll take care of that vice. Well, your problem isn't what you're struggling with from a sin perspective. Your problem is you've made something else an idol in your life. God is not who you are turning to. You're turning to something else entirely. Idolatry is one of the issues you have. It doesn't have to be vices, though. It can be other things, too. It can be golf. Boy, I love golf. If I could be on the golf course every day, I would. But it could be golf, right? Maybe you're out there golfing way too much. Maybe it's your house, and you're working on your house constantly, man. Just all kinds of home improvement projects. Maybe it's a car. Could be your family. It could be good things as well. It could be those good passions that you have. But those passions that you have, still, they can temporarily fill that void. Temporarily, man, satisfy you. But still, if you're putting those ahead of God, nothing is going to work. Nothing's going to help you out. And so what I want to do this morning is I kind of want to walk through very quickly just a few questions. I want you to answer them. And just be honest in how you answer them. If you have your notes with you, there's a place on those notes, in the back of your notes, to answer these questions. It's just you and God, so just be honest about here this morning. But three important questions I want you to wrestle with about, hey, do I have a passion or is it idolatry? Do I have a passion or is it idolatry? First question is, does this lead me closer to God or distract me? This leads me closer to God or distract me. Does this passion become something which is complementary and blesses my relationship with God? Does it help me enjoy and appreciate Him, or is it so strong it takes me away from Him? Is it filling my head every waking moment? It's all I can think about. Am I thinking about this when I should be praying or should be worshiping God? Well, I should be out there praying to the Lord, but I can't help. I'm thinking about that game. We got to fire that coach. It's been terrible. Whatever. This passion's probably getting too much. Can't wait to get back on the golf course this weekend. Can't wait to do this, do that. Is it too much? Is it becoming an obsession where it's just constantly taking your thoughts and your time? Second question, do I rely on this more than I rely on God? So meaning, like, do you rely on whatever this passion is for your identity and worth? So when you're hurting and you're alone, is this your go-to source for comfort? Or do you go to God? Does this bring meaning to your life, or is it God who gives you meaning? If you struggle with working a lot, workaholism, right? Might be problems at the house, your marriage, whatever it is. So how do you escape from that? I go to the office. I work longer hours. I'll take extra shifts if I need to take extra shifts. I kind of like what I do. People at work like me. They look up to me. They respect me. When I'm there, I feel kind of powerful. I kind of feel who I am. When I go home, I got all this kind of junk I got to deal with. I don't want to do that. So I'm just keep going to work and fill this thing with work. I put work first, man. And work and work and work. And it's all going to be great until your supervisor calls you into his office. Hey, we got to make some changes. There's some cuts that are coming. I just got to let you know that you're going to be in this round of layoffs. Well, you've just built your entire self-worth that gives you meaning and identity and a job and a career. And now it's taken out away from you. You can't escape what's happening at home anymore with work. Who are you? If you've built your whole life around something and it's taken away from you, you don't know who you are. And I would say if that's the case for you, whether it's work or anything else, I would say, hey, if it's not God giving you meaning and worth, if you don't know who you are in Christ, whatever that is that's giving you meaning and self-worth is an idol, you got to take care of that. Third question, if God asked me to give this up, would I do it? If God asked me to give it up, would I? If God said, hey man, stop doing this, would you without hesitation give whatever passion or thing it is up? And that question gets to the heart of trust. Do I trust God or not? Do I really trust in the Lord? So think about these questions. Does this lead me closer to God or distract me? Do I rely on this more than I rely on God? And if God asked me to give this up, would I do it? Now here's a bonus question. Bonus question at the bottom of your notes. Bonus question right here. Is God showing you something? And what is he showing you? Just you and God. Answer these questions honestly, right? Is God showing you something? Is he nudging you? Is he trying to get your attention? Now, if you're honest, this is kind of an uncomfortable thing, isn't it? Because you might be getting a little defensive. Well, look, here's the thing. This is not it's not an idol. I do like this. I find meaning in this. I find joy in that. But it's not an idol. It's fine. It's whatever. Maybe you're getting defensive. Maybe you're trying to justify whatever it is that God's trying to bring up to you. And I would just argue, I'll just tell you, man, listen. It's okay. Don't fight what God is trying to show you. Don't fight what maybe God is trying to bring to your attention. And understand this, that you're not alone in that. Like, everybody struggles with idolatry in some form or fashion. And I'll share you mine. You want to just, I struggle too. I might be a pastor, but I don't got it all figured out, buddy. I mean, I'm right there with you on this stuff. I struggle with idolatry in my life. Man, can I tell you what I hate to do? Dude, I hate asking people for help. Absolutely hate it. I'm a self-sufficient person. And so for me, I don't leverage my network like I should, because I'm like, you got a lot going on. I don't want to contact you and tell you, hey, I need help with this. I mean, you got your own issues going on, you know? I don't want to take away from whatever time you've got. I don't want to bother somebody. So for me, I don't want to do it. So I keep it to myself. I kind of like that stuff rises and falls with me a little bit. I got no one I can blame. I can't blame you for getting in the car accident because I'm the one driving. I kind of like that thing. I was the kid in school who, in a group project, I didn't trust none of those suckers, man. I was like, you do this, you do this, and I do 85% of the work because I want the A. That was me in school. So, you know, that's kind of how I am. But hey, you might say, well, pastor, that's not such a bad thing. That's a terrible thing. That's idolatry. How? It's pride. I have too much pride. I've struggled with this my entire life. I have too much pride because I struggle with trusting people to do certain things. So I try to hold everything on to me. And I want to admit, you know what? I don't need their help. I'll do it on my own. That's a form of pride. So what about you? What is God trying to show you? What have you been putting ahead of God in your life, man, here this morning that you just got to fix, you got to repair it? And if you find yourself, again, resisting what God is trying to show you, then know this, that what you resist the hardest often reveals what controls you the most. What you resist the hardest often can reveal what controls you the most. And so I would say, hey, don't push back against what God's trying to show you, man. Instead of attacking the spirit of God who's trying to bring conviction to you, you should attack the idol in your life. Attack that. In fact, attack the root cause. If you go out and you just cut plants, like you got weeds in your yard, I'm going to treat it by just cutting the weeds out. I'm just going to spray whatever I want to spray because it says it kills the root on the box. But let's be honest, it doesn't really do that. But you're going to spray it anyway. It'll be okay, right? No. What will happen is the next week, those weeds come back, right? All you did was dealt with the symptom. You just cut the weeds down, but they kept coming back. If you want to remove plants that are a nuisance that you don't need. You have to take the entire plant by the entire root system out. Because if I don't take the root system out, those plants will come back. They'll continue to come back. Some of you have struggled with idolatry, and you have tried six ways from Sunday for years to remove idolatry in your life, man. And each time you think you're past it, you get this nasty surprise, and it keeps coming back in your life again. And the big reason why is you haven't dealt with the root cause of the problem. You deal with the symptoms, what you can see, what you can feel, but you haven't dug the root system, the taproot. You haven't gotten that sucker out to fully remove the idolatry. You're just dealing with the surface level stuff. You haven't torn down the idolatry in your life, and until you do, you'll continue to struggle with it. In the Old Testament, idolatry was everywhere. You read about it, it's crazy. In particular, though, in this kingdom of Judah, southern kingdom, you had idolatry, which was kind of a sticking point, because the people of Judah, man, they would serve God, right? They would serve God, go all in, and they would have some good kings, Uzziah, Hezekiah, Jehoshaphat, good kings, man. But what happened is they would never remove completely the idolatry. They might remove it like mainstream, say, hey, we're not going to worship Asherah and Baal anymore and tear down the altars in the temple and tear down the mainstream type kind of stuff. But in the villages, in the hillsides, out in the country, the pagan shrines still remained. The high places were still there, they were called, okay? And because of that, the people never fully committed themselves to God, and they would often go back to idolatry. So you read passages in the Old Testament like this. Jehoshaphat was a good king, and he did what was pleasing in the Lord's sight. Sounds good so far, right? But during his reign, however, he failed to remove all the pagan shrines or the high places, depending on what translation you read. And the people never fully committed themselves to following God. And I read that about Hezekiah. I read it about Uzziah. I read about all, I mean, I could go down the list of the good kings in Judah. It's the same thing. Man, they love God, they did the right thing, but they didn't deal with the root cause of the problem until one of the last kings of Judah, a man named Josiah, comes on the scene. He is the only king who, when he came onto the scene, tore down all the pagan shrines. He went to the hillsides, he went to the villages, he went into the countryside, he tore all those Asherah poles down, he destroyed the altars to Baal, he destroyed everything. And then Josiah fully committed the people. Hey, here's the word of God, we're going to follow it. Here's the temple in Jerusalem, we're going to worship there. We're going all in. We're not doing any more of this half-in, half-out garbage. We're going to go all in for God. And Judah experienced a spiritual awakening in that reign, unlike they have ever experienced prior. You have to go back to the time of David and Solomon to find a spiritual awakening of that magnitude. Why? Because there was one king who said, you know what? I'm not going to just deal with the symptoms. I'm going to fully uproot and tear down all of these idolatrous places in the land so that nothing is left. So we can fully commit ourselves to going after God. I'm telling you, if you will attack the idolatry in your life and remove it like Josiah did, man, you will find yourself in a place where an awakening within your own spirit will begin to take shape. You got to put God first. You got to go all in for Him. And you have to do it by fully committing yourself, not just to following God, but getting rid of all the idolatrous things in your life. Not the surface level stuff, but digging it out by the root, pulling it up. Now the reason a lot of us struggle to do this, and this is a hard truth, but the reason a lot of us struggle to do this is we all want what we pursue, you know, the most, right? Or we pursue what we want the most. So we prioritize our time, our lives, everything we have, our finances. Everything is prioritized around what we deem to be most important. Everything. If God really is most important to your life, could you honestly tell me, tell the Lord, tell your spouse, if your spouse is here, hey, we have prioritized God fully. Our finances, our time, our gifts, our energy, everything is fully designed and situated around God and God alone. Can you really honestly say that? Because what you pursue the most is what you design your whole life around. If you really want to put God first, you got to take a big step and take your entire life and all of who you are and fit it around God. Kara, come on up. And that's a hard thing to do. And that's not easy. That's not. I don't expect you, if that's you today, you're struggling, I don't expect you to go home and like overnight you're able to do this. It's a hard process that takes time. There's bad habits you got to break. There's consistency you got to add to your life. There's sensitivity to the Spirit of God you've got to lean into. There's things that have to happen, but man, you need to be on the pathway to doing that. Otherwise, you can tell me, man, you put God first all you want in your life. You can give all the kind of lip service you want, but the truth is, until you prioritize your entire life around Him, you haven't done that. I think in part we struggle with wanting God because, man, we just don't realize either like how good God is. The only way to see how good God can be is to put God first. It's that taste and see the Lord is good. Seek first the kingdom of God and His right. It's that kind of thing we have to do, man. And so are you putting God first? Do you know how good God can be? Do you know how good that God is in your life, man? Is there anything distracting you from going all in for the Lord today? And if so, man, you got to remove that from your life. Replace the idolatry, the worship of the Lord this morning. God's not calling you to be Christianish. He's not calling you to be a kind of sort of maybe Christian, spiritual person, whatever. I come to church every so often. I believe in God. He's calling you to seek Him first above all else. He's calling you to love Him first above all else. He's calling you to prioritize your entire life and who you are, your dreams, your hopes, your goals, your family, your marriage, your finances, your gifts, your talents, your time. Prioritize all of that around God. That's what He's calling you to do. That's what it takes, man, to put Him first. Don't put Him behind any other passion. He's a jealous God with a covenant jealousy for you because He wants all of you. So are you willing to give it up? Are you willing to take those steps and prioritize your life correctly around the Lord? Will you stop treating a symptom and attack the source and remove completely all the idolatry in your life and place God at the center? And you say, Pastor, that's really easy for you to say because you're a pastor, you've given your whole life to this. Buddy, being a pastor is the hardest thing I've ever done in my life. You know how hard it is to sit there? I got to preach to you guys every week, and I got to bring a message, and I got to tell you what to do. And then so many of you are like, well, pastor's got it all together. Nah, man, it's a struggle for me too. This ain't so easy. I had a really hard conversation with my wife earlier this week about things we just talked about here in this message. Placing God first, prioritizing things around. It is a struggle to do that. So I'm not asking you to do anything that we ourselves are not attempting to do each and every day in our lives. If it were easy to prioritize your entire life around God, everybody would do it. I wouldn't have to give a message like this. It's crazy hard to do it. It's one of the most difficult things you will do, is prioritizing everything around the Lord. And it's not some magical thing where once I do that, boom, the angels sing and heaven pours out blessing and my life is all gravy from that point forward, you know. Maybe God does some of that. Maybe He doesn't. You know what? That's actually not the point. I don't want to get too far ahead because this is the message we're going to get to next week. I don't want to get too far down that road, but that's actually not the point. I don't do it because of what God can do for me. I'm supposed to do it because of the relationship that I have with the Lord and that He desires of me. And because I put that first, man, I'll rearrange my entire life for Him to be at the center, for Him to be it. It's time to stop playing around, and it's time to stop giving lip service to things, and it's time to say, okay, I am, if you're married, my spouse and I, we're committing to go all in for God. Prioritizing everything we have and who we are around the Lord and pursuing Him. Bow your heads, close your eyes if you would here this morning. Man, if you're here today, you're watching online, you said, Pastor, excuse me. You say, Pastor, if I'm honest with you, I've not done that. But I've not done those things you're talking about because I don't even know the Lord. I could not tell you that I'm a follower of Jesus today, but I would like to make a change. What do I do? So I do this every week, but I think it's important. You never know who's watching. You never know who's here. I want to lead you in a prayer in just a moment. We're going to model what it means to say yes to Christ. I'm going to model for you what it means to say yes to Jesus as Him being your Savior, when He saves you from your sin. And then He's going to become Lord of our lives. Meaning what? Meaning He's going to be the one who guides us and directs us. Okay? You got to start there. You got to start with Him being your Savior and Lord first. Then I'm going to come back and I'm going to pray for those of us who are in the room or you're watching, you know, online. And you would say, Pastor, I need to reprioritize my life around God. I haven't been doing it. I want to pray for you and we'll wrap it up. Okay? So that's you this morning. You say, I need to take this step to say yes to Christ. You don't have to repeat it out loud or whatever, but I'm going to model the prayer for you so you know how to pray this. We're going to say this. Jesus, I am sorry for my sin. I realize today that, man, I cannot save myself. And I realize that I am in need of your forgiveness. And I'm in need of salvation from you. So I'm going to say, will you be the Savior of my life? Will you be the Savior of my life who can forgive me of the wrong that I've done? Will you be the Savior who can save me? Who can set me free from what I've been battling? The Savior who can restore me. And from this day forward, I'm going to commit myself to doing something different. I'm not going to live my way. Because I know where that leads me. I'm not going down that road anymore. I'm going to commit to following you. So I don't want you just to be my Savior. I'm asking you to be Lord of my life. And I will commit myself to serving you and going all in for you. I will do everything I can each and every day to serve and follow after you. I'm asking you, Jesus, if you will lead my life and will you guide me and where I should go. I need you to be the Savior and the Lord of my life today. I'm asking you, take full control of who I am. And in return, I'm going to commit myself to fully following after you. Lord, for those who are already believers today, they're already Christians, man, but realizing this morning, we're not prioritizing our lives as we should. Man, you're not the center. We have other things ahead of us. They don't have to be bad things. They may be really good things. But we don't have you first. Lord, I pray if we need to destroy and uproot completely idolatry in our lives, that God, we would do that. Show us, convict us, God, what needs to go. Help us realize whatever it is we're pushing back the hardest is what controls us the most, and it's got to go. Help us to reprioritize our lives, man. Father, I pray in all that we do, you'd be at the center of our finances, of our time, of our gifts and abilities. Be the center, God, of our intellect. Man, be at the center of our marriage and our family. May nothing, not even a job, take the place of God in our lives. And I pray especially, I don't know why I feel this way, but I just pray especially for those who are married couples this morning. All the pressures this world brings to families right now. I know it brings pressure to singles as well, but it's difficult in a marriage to sometimes get on the same page. God, I pray every spouse will be on the same page with each other. And together make the decision. We will prioritize our home and our lives around Jesus. That God will take center stage. We will not have any idol ahead of God. Whether it be good or bad, we're not having anything rank ahead. Not even our own marriage ranks ahead of God. We want God to be first. And we commit ourselves to following wholeheartedly after the Lord without any expectation of a return. because we want the relationship with God to be the priority. God chooses to bless us, great. God chooses not to, that's fine, it's not the point. Our hearts belong to Him, He belongs to us, and that is enough. We commit ourselves to having a house and a family and a marriage where everything is built around Jesus. God, thank you for all that you're going to do in our hearts and our lives here this morning. We pray all this in your name. Amen.
Thanks for listening. If you have any questions or would like to reach out to us, you can do so by emailing us at media@radiantchurchsc.com or visit one of our social accounts on Facebook, Instagram, or YouTube. If you like what you heard today, subscribe to our podcast so you don't miss any future episodes and give us a 5-star rating on the podcast platform that you listen to. We hope you have an amazing rest of your day.